We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 6. I'll give you a bit of a roadmap of where we've come and where we're headed with this series. I don't know if any of you woke up this morning and said, I cannot wait to hear about the work of the deacon. Church government's generally not the most important thing to us, but I'm going to argue that it is very important to God, and he has laid out for us how the church is to be governed. And so today, as we look again at God's word, we're going to consider the work of the deacon. Last week, we saw the qualifications of the elder, and 2 weeks ago, we saw the work of the elder. Those are the two offices that are held in the church. I am technically an elder. I'm what's called a teaching elder. You will elect from among yourselves later this year, Lord willing, ruling elders. And we together will be the session who will make the decisions and do the shepherding work of the church. But that's not the only position. The other position, ordained position, is the deacon. And we're going to talk about deacons today, why that position exists. Next week, we'll talk about the qualifications of the deacon. After that, we're going to have an interesting two Sundays that'll close out February. 2 weeks from today, we'll look at the role of women in the church. I often hear this caricatured because people generally don't know, because we don't have ordained offices for women in this denomination, and we don't believe the Bible allows for that. What is the role of a woman? And at times it's caricatured, and we get asked questions like, do women have to wear long pants and be silent in your church? No, that's not the case at all. So what is the role of the woman? We'll look at that in 2 weeks. And then in 3 weeks, we'll look at the role of every church member. You know, the strong likelihood is that God is not calling most people to be an elder or deacon. So what is he calling you to do? Does that mean you're a second-class member, or your membership is less important, your contributions are less significant than those who are elders or deacons? By no means. But we need to look at the role of the church member. So we'll wrap up February by looking at those things. Today we're looking at the deacon. Let's look at Acts chapter 6. It's on page 914 of the Bible that you may find in your chair. Acts 6, 1 to 7. Now in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. As we're studying the roles or these ordained positions of elders and deacons, and by the way, all of you who are communing members of the church, so members who are in good standing, have been admitted to the table, will take part in voting on the leadership of the church later this year. We're talking about two things specifically: the work that they are to do and the qualifications that God will give a man whom he is calling to those positions. And then we said last week, and we'll say it again next week, that we don't look to a man and say, is he good enough? We look and we say, is there evidence in his life that this is somebody whom the Lord is calling? And so that's what those qualifications are for. And that's what we need to think about: work and calling, or work and qualifications. Because if the Lord is calling a man to do the work, he is also equipping that man for the work. So we're going to look today at the role of the deacon. By the way, those of you that came up perhaps in a Baptist background, you might have said somewhere along the way, you Presbyterians, where'd you come up with this idea of the elder? In most Baptist settings, at least contemporary Baptist settings, there's deacons, and deacons really share the role of the elder and the deacon. So where do we get it? Well, we get it from the Bible. We get it from the Bible. The Bible talks on multiple occasions about the role of the elder. In fact, many Baptist churches today are moving back to having elders because in the Bible, you never see deacons without elders. It's a very important point. They're two different roles, and they need each other. The two should go together. One of our brothers in this congregation reminded me recently of the illustration of a bird. The elder and the deacon are like two wings of the bird, and when one wing isn't working, the bird can't fly. Both sides are integrally important. And the church is just like that. The deacon is important. The elder is important. And both must be there for us to function at its best. We talked first about elders, not because they're more important, but because their role is the primary role that the church needs to carry out, which is the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word. And once you have elders that do their job, then the role of deacons begins really to make sense to us. And that's what we're going to look at today, is the biblical rationale for the work of the deacon, what a deacon is supposed to do. And that's what our passage tells us about today. In order to really understand it, we need to step back and look at the context of what was going on in this situation, this story about the Hellenists and the Hebrews. Well, what's going on is that the early church, and this is not long after Jesus was ascended to be with the Father, the early church was growing, and it was growing rapidly. Why was it growing? Well, flip over a couple pages to Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. This is a great answer for why was the church growing? Well, it's very simple. 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." And then look down to the second half of verse 47. "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved." Now that's really, really significant that we get this. Because we have this idea of what's called the seeker-sensitive movement or the church growth movement. Of course, we do want to be sensitive to those who are curious about Christ. But the church is not an item to be marketed. The job of the church is to preach the word, to fellowship, to break bread, and to pray. That's actually God's church growth method. Do you see that here? How did God grow the church? Well, through those things, through what we call the means of grace. Let me think about those things real quick, those four things that they're doing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What that means is that they emphasized, above all else, the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word. Same thing we do here. When we sit and we look at the book of Philippians, we're devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. What else did they do? They had fellowship. They walked through life together. They shared meals together. They loved one another. They had one another in their homes. They had meaningful relationships. Next, it says the breaking of bread. Now, some people believe that just means fellowship. I think that's talking about communion based on the language here. They partook of the Lord's Supper together, just as we're going to do at the end of this service. They're attending to the sacraments together, we would say. And fourth thing they're doing is they're praying together. They're committed to prayer as a body of believers. That is God's church growth plan right there. Prayer, fellowship, sacraments, preaching of the word. That is God's agenda, or we could say it's his marketing strategy for the growth of the church. We do those things. They're what we call the means of grace. They're the way by which God grows his church. There are a million other things the church can do, but those are the most important. Those are the things that can actually bring life to people. You can get a million people in the door of the church, but you know what? If they don't have the word, if there's not prayer and sacraments and fellowship, they're not going to get saved. They may even join the church. They may even be contributing to the church. But apart from the means of grace, they will just be dead churchgoers. So our duty, above all else, is the preaching of the word, the sacraments, prayer, fellowship. And guess what? God adds to their number, doesn't he? When those things are done faithfully, God adds to the number of the church. This Acts 2:42 could be the philosophy of ministry statement of First Scots in one word. We devote ourselves to preaching, fellowship, sacraments, and prayer. That's all we need to do to grow the church. That's the life of the church. We don't need gimmicks. We just need the means of grace. If we do that, guess what? God works in people's lives. God will change people through those things. He promises that his word won't return void to him. And that's what's going on in the church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 6. The elders, the apostles in this case, we believe that elders took over after the apostles. Elders are doing their jobs of dealing with the ministry of the word. And when that happens, there will be a problem, a conflict that follows. Now, most conflicts in the church are not good conflicts, but this was a good conflict. See, here's what was going on. The elders were so busy with the duty of shepherding, feeding the flock spiritually, preaching the word, praying, all those things, that they didn't have time to minister to the widows in the congregation. It had fallen behind as a priority. And so they had a decision to make. What are we going to do for these women, these Hellenists? By the way, those were probably Jews who had converted to Christianity, but were from Greek descent. They had lived somewhere outside of Jerusalem, but probably upon retirement, they wanted to be close to Jerusalem, so they moved to town as they got older. And it was customary in the synagogues and in the churches to distribute food every day to these widows to make sure their needs were met. And the elders are faced with a problem. These ladies are hungry and they're not being cared for. And the elders were so busy with the work of preaching the word that they had a decision to make. And the decision was, do we take care of these widows or do we keep preaching the word? And we see here that they said, it's not good for us to stop. It's not good for us to wait tables. Now, we could read that as if it was a condescending statement, that they're saying they were too good to do that work. That's not what they were saying at all. What they were saying is God has called us primarily to the ministry of the word, and we can't put that on the back burner. We can't make it as if it's less important. So if they were to start taking care of the widows in the way that they needed, the preaching of the word would have suffered. And so wisely, what they did was they appointed a team of seven men who were to assist them. It doesn't say it here, but every time we see this group referred to, they're called deacons. Deacon literally means somebody who waits tables. And so the deacons here were elected. Look at verses 3 and 4. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. We will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. If somebody asks you, what's the difference between an elder and a deacon? Come to Acts 6, verse 3. It explains it right there. Deacons are men full of the Spirit and wisdom who have been called to the ministry of deed and mercy. They've been called to do that work so that elders can focus on the ministry of the word. And then verse 5 says, it pleased the whole gathering. In other words, now the church is pumping on all eight cylinders. We've got people on the one side to take care of the ministry of the word. It's their priority to preach, to pray, to do the sacraments, all those things, those means of grace. But now they also had on the other side the deacons who would care for the widows and they would deal with the physical needs. The deacon's job was really to do the things that needed to be done so that the elders could do their job. That's very important that the church understand we need both sides of it. As a church plant, we're growing. We don't have those deacons and elders yet. And so at times we get imbalanced, but Lord willing, the deacons and the elders will correct those things. But the church needs both sides, the ministry of deed and the ministry of word. Both are utterly important because the church is to be the body of Christ. And you know what Jesus did? He did a ministry of deed and a ministry of word. Luke 24:19 says he was mighty in word and deed. Both were important. That means we're to be active in the community, serving and meeting the needs of our neighbor. We ought to be caring for widows and orphans. That's what James said is the essence of true religion. But you know, ministry of deed is not the end goal for the church. It's not the end goal. Deed ministry, mercy ministry, is always intended to open the door for word ministry. The goal of doing mission work and building a building or digging a well, the goal of delivering meals, whatever the deed ministry is that we're called to do, the goal should be to open the door to spread the word. We see that in John chapter 9. Jesus there heals a man who was born blind. And the religious leaders are jealous, and they actually cast the man out from the synagogue. And Jesus went to the man, and he presented the gospel to him. He taught the man how to become a follower of Christ, and the man was given true eyes to see. He was given spiritual eyes through that. What we see time and time again is that in the scriptures, the deed ministry, the intention of it is to open the door for word ministry. This is where the church in the 20th century has failed. We largely, this came around in the 1900s, do-goodism took over. And the end goal was no longer evangelism, it was actually to carry the meal to somebody. Well, you know what? Carrying a meal to somebody is a very good thing, or digging a well is a very good thing. But it should open the door to something better. What good does it do in the end if we feed a meal to somebody, but we do not tell them about the true food, the Lord Jesus Christ? So the goal of deed ministry in the church is to open the door for word ministry. I want to challenge you with that as we think biblically about missions over the next couple of years and what kinds of ministries we will be committed to. It's often easy to want to deal with those ministries or those organizations that meet merely deed needs, those physical needs, those felt needs. Well, yes, those are good things, but we should be uncompromising in the fact that for a ministry to truly do what we want it to do, it must emphasize both word and deed. So never settle for just that does deed ministry. The end goal should be to share the gospel, to share the good news of salvation, because that is what is able to save souls. So what is the work of the deacon today? We're reading this here in Acts chapter 6. It was close to 2,000 years ago. How does that translate over into today? Well, let's come up with a definition. The deacon's job is to meet the church's physical needs, whether that's those in the church, those around the church, whatever. The church's physical needs so that elders could primarily attend to the spiritual needs of the church. That's what we could call the role of the deacon today, because it's going to take a lot of different shapes. One thing I want you to see, and we'll emphasize this next week, does that mean that deacons are not to, that elders are to be the spiritual people and deacons can be unspiritual? Not at all. What does it say here? Full of wisdom, full of the Spirit. Full of wisdom, full of the Spirit. They should be just as qualified to serve, but they have a different calling to which God is using them. So let's think about that calling for a moment. In all likelihood, the deacons will not be spending all their time every day serving the widows of our church, will they? That's probably not going to be the most common need here, though it would be done if that was the need. But what will be the most likely needs here? Well, some of that has to be determined by the session. What does the session need help with? But let me throw out a few things. First, deacons still ought to be caring for the widows and orphans in and near the church, those with whom we can have an influence. They ought to be doing that work. They should be caring for the physical plant of the church, the property of the church. Their duty primarily would be to make sure that the facilities, if we have facilities, whenever that is, would be ready for the saints to worship in, that would be conducive to worship. They're to assist with money as far as the session would like. They're to help meet the physical needs of the congregation. That may not be food. That may be helping cut a widow's grass. That might be going from house to house changing smoke detector batteries. That's just my great example. That's always a need, changing smoke detector batteries. By the way, it gets you in somebody's house twice a year, doesn't it? If you're supposed to change them every 6 months, it's a great way to ensure that you're making contact with people. But it may be those kind of things, physical needs. The deacons will also work with the elders in communicating with those in the shepherding groups that we set up here to ensure that everyone is cared for. There will be other jobs for the deacons, but that's a picture of what it could be. Now, here's what I want to push back against. Sometimes when you're doing all those things, you feel like it's unimportant. All these behind-the-scenes jobs that nobody ever sees. You know, oftentimes we walk into worship and we haven't thought about, well, who set up that communion table? And who put out the signs? And who set up the nursery? We don't think about those things most of the time. Most of the time, the behind-the-scenes stuff stays behind the scenes and nobody gets glory for it. And oftentimes it's easy for the deacon to say, well, what I do isn't important. I'm not like the elders. The elders get all the attention. I'm back here doing all the work, and they're getting all the glory. That could happen. I trust that it won't happen here, but it could happen. What we need to understand, for one thing, is that elders, yes, they're doing some in front of the scenes work, but they're investing hundreds of hours, oftentimes, in shepherding and discipline cases and preparing for Sunday school and preparing lessons and all those different things. So it's not that one group does all the work and one group does none of the work. Both groups are diligent in the work of Christ, and both groups are equally necessary, even though one may get more attention than the other. You know, I think about it often in terms of football. This is just the clearest analogy to me. In terms of football, there's one guy on the field, and he's going to get all the glory. And every kid in the stadium is wearing his jersey, and he's the quarterback. And he's usually about 6'2", and he's strapping, great-looking guy. And then you have another guy, and he's the left tackle. And he probably weighs about 350 pounds, and his jersey looks like it's about to burst off of him. And nobody pays any attention to him in a lot of cases. But the left tackle's job is to protect the quarterback so that the quarterback can do his job. And if the left tackle decides, you know what? I want to be the quarterback today. It's going to be a disaster. He isn't going to be able to do his job. Which one's more important, the left tackle or the quarterback? They both are, right? They're both utterly important for the work that needs to be done on the field. Likewise, the elder and the deacon are both utterly important for the work of ministry. They need one another desperately. When a church has good deacons, it allows the elders to do word ministry, to emphasize teaching and preaching and praying and serving the sacraments and fellowship. If the deacons refuse to do their job, you know what will happen to the elders? They'll just become deacons. They'll forget. They'll fail to do the spiritual shepherding of the church because they'll always be putting out fires every day. Good deacons let good elders do their job. Likewise, good elders bring good deacons along to do their jobs better. The deacon isn't less important than the elder or less integral than the work. He may not be seen behind the pulpit or teaching Sunday school every week, but if he doesn't do his job, the whole church suffers. We all pray. We all pray with us. Pray this year, diligently pray, that the Lord would raise up great elders to lead the ministry of the word, and that he would raise up great deacons to lead the ministry of physical needs, the deed ministry of the church, and that we would be a balanced church, excelling in both. Would y'all pray with me to that end? Let's pray together. Lord God, we love your church. We're not speaking of brick and mortar churches. We're speaking of the building that you build, the spiritual building that you build through the hearts of godly men and women. Father, would you do a great work here to build us in the way that would be most effective, and we believe your word teaches that. Great and godly kind-hearted, loving elders who are doing the work of ministry of the word, preaching and teaching, visiting homes, serving the sacraments, praying. And then at the same time, raise up godly, compassionate, loving deacons. Father, many times problems like the widows in Acts 6 were facing of not getting the daily distribution would have gotten ignored. Sometimes they would be ignored because in many cases those widows would not have been able to tithe much. And so worldly churches would say, well, they're not pitching in anyways. That's not the approach your church took or it ought to take today. We're to care for those with needs in our congregation. And you've set apart the deacon as the one, the entity that's to do that. Help us to be diligent in seeking those men whom you're raising up to be elders and meet those qualifications and are suited for the work, are committed to your church and to your people. And then, Father, we pray that you would raise up just as godly of deacons, men who are diligent, who love the ministry of deed, caring for their neighbor. Father, if you will do both, and if we will be sensitive to your spirit for both, Father, we will build a foundation that will last for generations. God, we do pray that you're equipping us as a church to do the work of the ministry, both word and deed. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.